aside from God himself, prayer is the single most powerful thing in the universe. It's more powerful than reason. It's more powerful than exploding supernovas. And it's more powerful than Satan and all of his wicked forces combined. Truly, prayer is an incredible blessing. Last week, in fact, one of you said to me, and I quote, "Prayer is the most powerful thing in the world. It's like having a nuclear bomb in my pocket." And even that is an understatement, isn't it? If asked, every one of us could probably share a miraculous story, and many of us could share a lot of these concerning prayer. And I have a unique opportunity to walk through life with many of you, and so I have the pleasure of getting to see this quite often, and then having the privilege of being on the intercessory prayer team and seeing how God works powerfully on our behalf all the time is simply breathtaking. God is amazing, and prayer is powerful. Amen. Well, for those of you who weren't here last week, we did part one of a short two-part series on prayer. I believe God has graciously led us into this series as a way of celebrating the completion of one of the more difficult chapters in the Bible, namely Romans chapter 1, and giving us a needed break from the depth and the weightiness that Romans is so packed full of. Last week, we answered the questions, what is prayer and how should we pray? Or how should we approach prayer with the aim of it being a relational time of fellowship with our Heavenly Father? To recap, we saw that prayer is communication with God. Not simply communication to Him, but with Him. It's relational. It's engaging. He doesn't ignore us. Rather, he communicates with us, and as his sheep, we hear his voice. And then we spent most of our time unpacking seven ways to approach prayer in an engaging way. And we weren't talking about how to masterfully read through a prayer list. We heard from God on how to approach relational fellowship with him. And while it was certainly not exhaustive by any means, we covered some key points that I believe God led us to and had for us. And so again, to recap briefly, what we saw was that we should approach prayer, I'm going to go through all seven very quickly, recognizing that it's warfare, in total dependence upon God, confessing our sins and seeking forgiveness for His glory, in line with his own intercession, having gained his perspective, committing our prayers to the will of God, and praying his word. And so then this week, we're going to move into the final piece of this short series and focus on the privilege of prayer. And again, my hope is that this is received as a welcome break and an uplifting time together, one in which we simply get to celebrate these truths, enjoy God, hang on that word, joy, to enjoy God and give thanks and praise to him that we actually get to be a part of his family and participate in these incredible realities that we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning talking about. And so I just want to encourage you, allow these truths to penetrate. And to the very best of my ability, this is not me, this is God. Many have been praying, we want God to speak and still do, and so receive from God. My prayer is anything that comes out that's not of God, you would forget it, it would just fall away, and anything that's of God, you would receive it from him. And so I just encourage you, receive from God as we go. I believe he wants this to be a uniquely worshipful service, from the time of worship that we've already had to the time of worship through this very message where we just enjoy him and make much of him, to the partaking of communion afterwards as a family and the continued worship after that. I believe through all these things, God wants to affirm us, encourage us, make us smile, cause us to love him more and just be blown away by him. And I'll just add, he doesn't just want to do all these things from afar, like way over there. He wants to be a part of this with us, joining in this time of celebration as our very best friend, our Lord and our Savior, and our perfect, good, good Father who we just sang about. Amen? Well, what do you mean, Brian, that prayer is a privilege? You said last week that it's warfare. It often feels like work, and it can be exhausting. What do you mean when you say privilege? I mean the benefits and the blessings and the joy, many other words, the joy that's available to be had in and through prayer. Benefits, blessings, joy, insert other synonyms. For now, we're going to cover seven again. Number one, we get to be in the presence of Almighty God. We get to be in the presence of Almighty God. Literally, we get to come into and experience the actual presence of God, the creator of the universe. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace." That's the throne of God. Spiritually speaking, we come before his throne. We're not yet literally or physically in his throne room, but one day we will be. That being said, enjoying the presence of God is not just some intangible or spiritual thing. He lives within us, physically, in ways that we just cannot quite comprehend. He is here with us, indwelling us with his very Spirit even now. Before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he promised that he would always be with us. Not sometimes, or most of the time, always. And to me, I think this is a privilege and a reality that we often take for granted. Like, yeah, God is with me. Wait, what? Did you just hear yourself? The God of the universe, the creator and the sustainer of all things, the Alpha and the Omega, Yahweh, the great I Am, and so much more, is with you? And you say that with about the same amount of enthusiasm as you would telling your spouse you're out of milk? I think we can be sometimes numb to the gravity of this truth. And this reality, and what an amazing truth it is, family. In Psalm 27, verse 8, I put this one on your handout. David says this to the Lord. He says, "My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.'" David is literally sharing how the Lord invites him into his presence to just fellowship, to spend time together in one another's presence. It's no wonder that God says David is a man after his own heart. And something that's truly amazing and revealed in this verse, and I believe God wants us to see it, something that's truly amazing here is that this is not a one-sided desire. Like we want to be with God and he tolerates us. He actually initiates and beckons us into his presence. Do you see this? In this very verse. I want you to raise your hand if you've ever experienced this. You've experienced the Lord drawing you and leading you into his presence. Most of us. Probably all of us. It's not just that we want to spend time with God, but God himself, the God of the universe, wants to spend time with us. Now, is that amazing or what? And truly, children and grandchildren help us grasp this in a unique way. And therefore, I'm going to overload you today with examples from my 5-year-old daughter, Addie. Here's one. Almost every day when I see Addie after school, I'll sit down on the couch and I'll say, "Come here, baby girl. Come sit on my lap." And she heads my way and I pick her up and I sit her in my lap and we get comfortable on the couch, kind of snuggle together, and then I ask her about her day. I said, tell me about your day. What all did you do? What was the most fun? How was your time with your friends? What did you eat? How are you feeling? And many more questions. And this opens up a dialogue where she answers my questions and then she asks some of her own. And she is, for those of you who have ever interacted with her, she is incredibly relational. She'll ask me how my day at work has been. And she'll ask me how I slept the night before. And many other questions. I invite her into my presence. She joyfully partakes and we fellowship. And I want you all to know, if you don't know this about me by now, hear it. This time with my precious daughter is of utmost importance to me. She brings me such joy, very much in the same way that we bring our Heavenly Father joy when we sit close to Him and we just talk. When Addie and I fellowship, there's closeness, there's intimacy, trust, protection, laughter, and so much more. And this is exactly how our Heavenly Father wants to do life, and especially our prayer time with us. We get to be in His presence and enjoy all that comes along with that. Which leads to number two. Number two, this is one of the main ways that we draw near to Him. Prayer, that is one of the main ways that we draw near to Him. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. And then Psalm 73, verse 28 says, but for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge. We spoke last week about a relationship with Christ and enjoying fellowship with Him in a very relational way. And the main way that this happens is through prayer. Now, don't hear me wrong. I don't want to disparage the word. You all know that I hold it up as supreme, infallible, and authoritative. It is the only inerrant word of God, infinitely more inerrant than what we may think that we may be hearing or discerning from the Spirit. Yet, with that being said, prayer is still the main way that we engage with Him relationally. And as we covered last week, we do this on the basis of and rightly informed by the Word. So these two components are absolutely necessary, the Word and prayer. And we have spoken a lot over the years about the Word. And so I'm not discounting it. This message is just focusing on the prayer part. And if all we have is the Word and no prayer life, we're going to be spiritually anorexic. And not only that, but it would also be evidence of the fact that we aren't really grasping what we're reading in the Word, because the Word has so much to say about relational fellowship with God. Likewise, if all we had was a vibrant prayer life, but no Bible, we would be in very dangerous territory. Because everything about our prayer life is to be informed and shaped and grounded by the Word. God literally speaks to us through His Word, authoritatively. So yes, sola scriptura. And then on the basis of that magnificent truth, we enjoy a marvelous relationship with God. That's what Christianity is about, a relationship with God, not rules and religion and external conformities. It's about the heart, knowing God and enjoying Him forever. Just like if we want to go deep or deeper with a spouse or with a friend, if we want to develop a deeper relationship with God, then engaging in this kind of relational fellowship, in this case prayer, is absolutely vital. Communication is key. Amen? I know at least the women are with me on that one. Number three, He hears us and is actively listening to us as an attentive Father who loves us dearly. Let me say that again. He hears us and is actively listening to us as an attentive Father who loves us dearly. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12, the Lord says this. He says, "You will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Furthermore, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers." Now, there's at least two things to see in that verse. One, his eyes are on us. And two, his ears are focused in on us, actively listening to us. Now, we've probably all seen some version of the short videos or memes or something like that that are all attempting to communicate the same thing, and it goes like this. They've got a father and his child, maybe on a couch, maybe on a bench in a park. And more than anything, the young child just wants his father's attention. He wants to spend time with his dad, enjoying him, talking to him, playing with him, and so on. But what's the dad doing? He's totally consumed with his phone. And the child is heartbroken. Our Heavenly Father is nothing like that. Not even a little bit. He simply cannot relate to that story at all. Not in any way. Our Heavenly Father is engaging with us. He's actively listening to us. He's not distracted looking at his phone or at the television or with more important work. He's giving us everything he's got, his full attention. He's looking at us, Peter says. Eyes are on us. And he's listening as an attentive father who loves us more than we could possibly imagine. And I'm blown away by that. Is that amazing or is that amazing? One of the two. Even the best father figures in this life are a drop in the bucket by comparison. Many of us had poor father figures, perhaps even abusive ones in a variety of ways. And so we've got to get it straight right at the start that our Heavenly Father is nothing like them. And then we need to let the Word tell us how great our Abba Father really is, because he is unlike anything or anyone else. He is the best. He loves us dearly, and he treasures our time together. Amen? One more verse to support this, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. In this verse, the Lord literally invites us to pray and engage in a dialogue or a conversation with him. He says, "Call to me and I will answer you." Not call to me and I'll ignore you. Not call to me and I'll make note of it and I'll get back to it in a little while when I have more time. Call to me and I'll answer. I'll respond, I'll engage, I'll fellowship with you. And he loves this, and he himself experiences great joy in it. Now that is mind-boggling, that he experiences joy. So we're not just talking about our joy, we're talking about his joy in this relationship. This is incredible, family. Number four, through prayer, in prayer, we have confidence, assurance, and comfort in approaching him. We have confidence, assurance, and comfort in approaching him. Confidence, assurance, and comfort. Let's start with confidence. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says this. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Or Hebrews 4:16, that we've already taken a look at, but we didn't mention this portion of it. It says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Through prayer, we come to our Heavenly Father as little children with needs. Rachel and I are finally watching The Chosen. And for those of you who have already seen this, The third episode of the first season is entirely focused on or dedicated to Jesus interacting with little children. He just sits in their presence. He enjoys them. He teaches them. He helps them. He answers many questions that they have and much more. It's incredibly touching, and it is remarkably accurate to who our Lord and Savior is. And just like little children in the show, we can approach God with confidence. Except for us, we can have even greater confidence because we are assured of our salvation and of our saving relationship with Him, if indeed we have trusted in Him for eternal life. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, and I'll put it on the screen as well, says this. It says, because of Christ and our faith in Him, now we can now come boldly and confidently into His presence. So why can we come boldly and confidently into His presence? Because we've been washed clean. Because we've been made spotless and without blemish. We are presented before the Father as acceptable and pleasing in His sight because of the work of His Son. As we've covered in Romans, by His grace, He has given to us the righteousness that He demands from us. He Himself has qualified us in every way to enter into His presence with confidence and assurance. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is enough. Amen? He is sufficient and He is all satisfying. And therefore, we can have confidence in approaching Him. However, we're not done. There's more. Not just confidence, but also assurance and comfort. Addie is confident in coming to speak to me and with me. But she also experiences assurance in my presence that she doesn't have apart from it. She's bold when I'm right there with her in a way that she's not when I'm gone. Just a couple of days ago, and I love how these examples are all this week, how God does this. Just a couple of days ago, we were getting ready for bed, and we had turned out all the lights in the living room and in the kitchen, and it was scary in there. And Addie would never venture in there alone. However, she came and grabbed my hand, and we just walked in the dark together. And she was grinning, and she was excited the whole time, even jumping up and down with excitement and asking if we could do it more. Do what more? Literally just walk around in the dark kitchen and the living room holding hands. She was experiencing something that she would never do alone. It was something new, and she was overwhelmingly assured by my presence. And it's the same with thunder and lightning and virtually everything else. Life is scary. And it's no different for us as adults. It just hits us in different ways. And our Heavenly Father is right there, longing for us to take His hand and trust Him and enjoy Him and commune with Him and experience not only the confidence, but the assurance that comes in His presence. Amen? What an incredible privilege prayer is. Lastly on this point, comfort. And another Addie illustration. Children are incredible, aren't they? I mean, God reveals so much to us and about us through our kids and our grandkids, and mainly because we're His kids. And so the analogy works perfect. Everything that frustrates me about Addie is how I am with God. She makes me keenly and painfully aware of my own sin, which then leads me to be more gracious in dealing with it, because this is how our Heavenly Father is with us. Likewise, everything that thrills me about Addie is the same with our God. The excitement that I experience with her is merely a shadow of the reality of God's excitement in me and in you. He loves us, and he loves to be with us. Amen? So now, comfort in his presence. Psalm 23, verse 4 famously says this, Psalm of David. He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Just this last week, we were eating lunch at a restaurant, and we let Addie go to the restroom alone. Right as she got up, I looked across the restroom, across the restaurant, and I could see the restroom, and I could see that the light was off. The door was open, but the light was off, and the light switch was outside the bathroom. And as I noticed this, I immediately got up and went to go join her because I knew what was coming. And when I got to the bathroom, only mere seconds after she had arrived, the door was now cracked, and she was inside, it was dark, and she was crying. She was scared, and she couldn't find the light because the light switch was outside. And once I arrived and I turned on the light and I helped her get on the potty, she asked me to stay there with her. There was a comfort there, simply being in my presence. And that's exactly what David says in Psalm 23. The reason that he's not fearful in overwhelmingly fearful circumstances is because God is with him. Literally, experientially. And David is comforted by his presence. Similarly, one last example. Just a few weeks ago, Addie was sick. And during that sickness, we started a new bedtime routine where I would lay with her in the bed for just about 3 or 4 minutes as she was trying to get to sleep. And now, every single night after I scratch her back and I tuck her in, we spend some time together, she'll ask me, she'll say, "Will you lay here for a couple of minutes?" There's a unique comfort there. Not because of anything I'm necessarily doing or saying, it's mostly silent, but just my very presence. And you all know what I'm talking about. And so it is with God. Just being in his presence can literally work miracles for us and facilitate all kinds of things, including, but not limited to, confidence, assurance, and comfort. Amen? The reality is, we were made for God. We were made to be utterly dependent on him, just like Addie is dependent on her mother and me. And while children eventually grow up, this is not how it is with us and God. In fact, the more we grow spiritually, the more dependent we will grow on God, not independent. The more comforted we become by his presence because we see more and we see our ongoing need for him more clearly. And this is all by God's design. We were made to be dependent on him for our greatest possible good and for his glory. Amen? You see this, family? Two of you do. All right. Number five, prayer. It's the antidote to fear, worry, and anxiety. It's the antidote to fear, worry, and anxiety. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, not to worry, but rather to pray in and about everything. And here's what the verses say. I'll read it and I'll put it on the screen. "Do not be anxious," and this also includes worry and fear, "about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And," now, here's the result, "and the God of peace," and the peace of God, rather, "which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So Paul doesn't just say, "Don't worry. Don't be anxious, guys. Stop." That's not what he says. And that wouldn't be very helpful, would it? "But I am anxious." Telling me to stop doesn't change that. Rather, there's a prescription here that's directly connected to the exhortation. the main way that Paul tells us here that we're to go about not being anxious or becoming over, or rather, the main way that we overcome the anxiety that we maybe already are feeling or experiencing is by taking everything to the Lord in prayer and allowing him to do what only he can do. We come into his presence. We do everything we talked about last week. We enjoy and experience everything we've been talking about so far this morning. And then through those things, God facilitates a peace which surpasses understanding. Now, it's important to notice in this verse, these two verses rather, it's important to notice that Paul doesn't say anything about the circumstance or the situation getting any better. In fact, if we know the context, he's in jail, he's pouring out his life, the situation is not good. He's suffering abasement, it's cold, and much more. He doesn't say, pray, and then the trial that you're experiencing will magically disappear. He doesn't say that, and it doesn't work that way, though many of us have directly and indirectly been taught that over the years. Trials are a part of this life, and God wills them. He doesn't just passively allow them. He wills them and brings them into existence for our good. That's a whole other message on trials and suffering and God's purposes in it. But God ordains them for a reason. And so it's not just pray and they'll be gone. Rather, he says that through this prayer and submission to him and submitting everything to his will and his lordship and on, all the stuff from last week and this week, through those things, God will grant a peace that to the world around us who doesn't know God will look absurd. It doesn't make any sense. How can you experience peace while that's going on? It will confound them and it will send their very minds that are futile and speculative and not working right, insert second half of Romans 1, it will send their minds into fits because the peace that we experience in the presence of God is simply not congruent with our circumstances. That's what this verse is about. And then, Lord willing, they'll want to know what the heck is going on. And then we have an opportunity to share with them the hope that is within us. Amen? When we lay our situation at the feet of God, we can experience transcendent peace, which is better than anything else. And I don't want us to miss this. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 is a command. It's not a suggestion or simply a prescription. When you're feeling this way, do these things. But this is a command to pray, a way of life. And so we're being obedient and pleasing to our Heavenly Father when we pray. And yet, we see how this command is for our greatest possible good and joy in Christ. It's like commanding our children to stay away from the hot stove or to brush their teeth, except infinitely better in every way. This command in every way for us to pray is for us. Amen? Number 6, as it pertains to prayer, this is one of the main ways that we receive from him. It's one of the main ways that we receive from him. We pour out our hearts to him, being honest about our struggles with him and our emotions and our frustrations and our joys all across the spectrum. And then we receive from him that which only he can give us. I want to share with you a quote from A.W. Tozier that I have shared before concerning preaching and then apply it to prayer. In the pursuit of God, he says this, "Sound Bible exposition is an imperative must in the church of the living God. Without it, no church can be a New Testament church in any strict meaning of that term. But exposition can be carried on in such a way as to leave the hearers devoid of any true spiritual nourishment whatsoever. For it is not mere words that nourish the soul, but God himself." He goes on to express how the Bible is a means to an end. As glorious as the word is, and you've heard me say it many times before, we won't spend forever with our Bibles. We're going to spend forever with its author, the living God. And so the point that Tozier is making is that there's a nourishing from the word that is only possible through God. It can only come from him personally. And what I'm suggesting is that there's a nourishing from God personally that can only be experienced through relational prayer and fellowship with him. Similar to the example I used earlier, if we don't have a prayer life, we'll be spiritually malnourished. That's because a portion of our nourishment, not all of it, but a portion of it, comes through this very relational time of prayer. It's necessary to sit in his presence and simply enjoy him and fellowship with him and everything else we've talked about already this morning. And more than that, through prayer, we have the opportunity to receive his perspective about a situation or ourselves. Only God knows us perfectly, and therefore we are in need of him to even see ourselves rightly, much less others. Now talk about a need to receive from him. Amen? He also leads us, and I have so much more to say on this, and it's just going to be a summarizing paragraph. He leads us, he guides us, he encourages us, he loves on us, he affirms us, he redirects us, and so much more like that through, in and through our time of prayer. He is our perfect father, which means he is our perfect parent. None of us, not one of us, have had perfect parents, but he is. His parenting style is tailor-made for each one of us. And also, his parenting style is what we most need to have and model with our own children and grandchildren. The way he does it is the way we should do it. And there's so much more I want to say about receiving that we just don't have time for, but I did do a somewhat topical message back in May and June of 2019, a couple of messages on receiving for anyone who's interested in that. With Addie, I seem to be constantly seeking to reassure her of my love for her, even in and after discipline. Oftentimes, I'll ask her, "Do you know that your daddy loves you?" And even more than just knowing, I'll ask her, "Do you feel loved by your daddy? Do you feel loved?" I don't just want her to know in some academic way that she's loved. Like, yeah, my dad said that he loves me, and so he said it that one time, so I believe it, I guess. Actions speak infinitely louder than words. I want her to feel it in her bones that she's mine and that she's loved more than she can possibly imagine. And so it is with God. He longs for us to just sit at his feet, like Mary and the Mary and Martha story, and just sit there and receive from him all that he has for us. And family, this is not a once-a-year thing or a once-a-month thing. We need this regularly and frequently from him. Again, this is for our greatest possible good. Amen? Lastly, and very briefly, there are many more reasons that prayer is a privilege and a blessing, but I believe God wants me to stop after this one. Number 7, lastly, this is one of the main ways that we join with him in his plans for the world, both locally and globally. I'll say that again. This is one of the main ways that we join with him in his plans for the world, both locally and globally. One of the most important ways that we can join with him in his pursuit of non-believers is by praying for them. Remember that quote from last week. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. I've talked to many of you over the years, and you've shared how you sort of feel bad because your body just physically speaking, cannot take the toll. It can't handle the riding on the rough roads that are required to get to many of the places, many of the outreach sites where many missionaries and ministry leaders do ministry. Much of their work is done in remote places that's just hard on our bodies physically to get there. And you shared how you kind of feel bad. You can't participate. And yet, and I think I can speak on behalf of every missionary and ministry leader in this room, what they need more than anything, more than money, more than your presence, is your prayers. Now, that's not to say that other things aren't needed. And God is good and faithful to provide as he sees fit in his perfect timing. But every single one of us can be incredibly involved in the Great Commission and the advancement of his kingdom, not limited to the Great Commission, just the general advancement of his kingdom and his glory in the world through prayer. Every one of us can close our door and pray to our Heavenly Father in secret and be about this. And as we've talked about before, God has sovereignly and providentially taken all of our prayers into account such that they are not useless, but are intensely purposeful and necessary. He's worked our very prayers into his will and his plan and his way of accomplishing his plans. And so prayer is truly kingdom work. We pray for healing, we pray for grace and for faith and for deliverance. We ask for his supernatural power to be specifically released in a variety of ways. We intercede on behalf of others for all kinds of things, and he works through our prayers. Regardless of our age or our physical condition or our eloquence with the gospel, every one of us can play a vital role in God's plans for the world by simply joining together with him in prayer, praying that his kingdom come and his will be done, and much more. And what a blessing that is. Amen? Family prayer is an amazing privilege. And it's one that at times we take for granted or we underestimate. It really is like having a nuclear bomb in our pocket, and then some. And through it, we get to know and experience the Lord of all creation in ways that we would not otherwise. And so let us draw near to him and taste the joy in his presence as we respond along with David and his invitation, "My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me." And my heart responds, "Lord, I am coming." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a glorious privilege it is to be able to come to you in prayer, even now, right now, this very moment. The reality of prayer just blows me away when I really ponder it. That we can come into your presence and know you and enjoy you and be heard by you and hear you and fellowship with you, partner together with you, and so much more through prayer is awesome and mind-boggling. I pray that as we continue to worship you this morning, and then even later as we go from here, I pray that you would cause these truths to stick with us. If you're willing, totally reshape the way we think about and approach prayer, such that we see it how you see it and how you desire for us to see it. Make it something that we look forward to and something that we long for, as the deer pants for water. Cause us to go deeper with you and to grow in our relationship with you through this relational prayer with you, not simply a reading of a list to you. And Father, I just pray that you would enable us to experience incredible and new joy, perhaps joy that we've never really tasted as it pertains to this prayer life. Father God, draw near to us. Glorify yourself in us. And we ask all these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen.